Hey babes, welcome back to another episode of Holy Babes Podcast. We are on episode 12. We will be talking about the woman at the well today. I am really excited to get into this, guys. It is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, so I'm not even gonna stall and talk a lot like I do before I start most episodes. We're gonna get right into this. So I need y'all to turn to John chapter 4, and we're gonna get right into this chapter. All right, so I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. And again, we are on John chapter 4. It says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How do you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" I want you guys to remember that part right there that says given. "It would have given you living water." Let's go ahead on to verse 11. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them," emphasize on give, "will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "The one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world." I feel like as women, we have all been the woman at the well, and we have all done things that we are not proud of, and we have all experienced some things that probably weren't our best experiences, or have chosen the wrong partners at the time, or have dated people who we know we shouldn't have even talked to, or even married. It makes me think about how I have once been that woman. It makes me think about how God showed me grace, even though he knew who I was and what I have done. And when he points out that she has no husband, but she is with a man, so it's clear that she is probably, you know, having sex outside of marriage, and she's with a man who is not her husband. So just that alone, and then him still showing her grace and still just being kind to her despite him knowing everything she's ever done. I mean, just think about a man approaching you. I can't imagine the things that were going through her head, being that she's probably hasn't always had good experiences with men. And a man is at the well and he's just asking you to give him a drink. Not only that, but it's a Jew and you're a Samaritan woman, and you have no idea what this man's intentions are. And I'm sure her defense was up. But that's the thing. The way Jesus is, you don't have to have your guard up with him. You don't have to feel like you have to protect yourself. And I think her walls slowly came down. She started asking questions. So she went from having her defense up to slowly putting it down. And at the end, she says, closer towards the end of the story, she says that when the Messiah comes back, he will explain everything to us. It sounds to me like she was holding on to her faith. And that was in verse 25. So she knew that she needed saving. A lot of times we know that we need saving. And when Jesus saved her, I feel like when she met Jesus, I feel like it felt like the heaviness that she had been carrying, she knew that she no longer had to carry it. You could tell just how free that she was by how she ran to go tell other people, how she didn't think for a second. In her heart, she knew that he was the Messiah. And she ran to tell people, to bring them to him. She didn't remember anything about that water. She went to go tell her testimony immediately. And that speaks volumes, because I was the same way. When Jesus set me free from all the things that I had on me, from all the things that I was carrying, I ran to go tell other people. I didn't care who thought I was crazy. I didn't care who thought I was lying, or who would make me feel weird for experiencing what I experienced. I wanted the whole world to know that Jesus was real. I wanted everybody to know what he had done for me. And because she told her testimony, people came to meet Jesus. It just shows how important it is to tell your testimony. It is so important to tell your testimony. It plants the seed. And that's exactly what the woman did at the well. She went and she told people what she experienced, her testimony, and what happened to her at that well. She didn't think, oh, they might think I'm crazy. No, she went and she told those people. And as women of God, we need to do that. Go tell people what God has done for you. If you haven't told your testimony, tell anybody. Tell somebody at the drive-thru. Tell somebody at McDonald's. It doesn't matter who you tell. Tell somebody, and don't care how they look at you. Do what you got to do. And honestly, from my experience, telling people my testimony has helped me heal. When I was hurt from all the things I had gone through, I mean, I'm talking childhood traumas, just all those things. So one thing the devil loves to do is tell you to keep what you've gone through on the hush. He loves to tell you to just shut up about the things that he has used to hold you captive. He wants to do it to you and torture you, but he don't want you to tell other people and try to tell them that there's a way out. Tell them to go to Jesus to get it resolved. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to tell anybody that there is hope, that there is a life outside of the trauma, that there is life outside anxiety. He doesn't want you to tell them that they have a way out of depression. Tell them anyway. Some people feel like there is no better tomorrow. Some people feel like that it just will continue. Some people feel like there's no way out. They have to know that Jesus is the way out. Don't let the devil try to use embarrassment as something that will stop you from telling somebody else your testimony, because so many people have came to me and told me how my testimony has helped them push. It wasn't easy being somebody who was antisocial and who struggled with the anxiety disorder. Telling people my testimony was the hardest thing. Telling people why I sat in class for years and never said anything to anyone was incredibly hard for me. That was hard. Because, I mean, I was scared to talk, rarely talked. I was known for that. I was so scared of people knowing the truth about me, people knowing what I had gone through, people knowing who my father was, people knowing all those things. I was so scared. I didn't want nobody to know my past. And the fact that I told people my past had my flesh like, what are you doing? We've kept this secret for years. What are you doing right now? We're free now, sis. Sorry. I decided I wasn't going to be held captive by my thoughts any longer. I decided through Jesus, I would have the strength to beat anxiety. God said, start a podcast. I said, no. He said it again, and I said, okay, all right, well, that seems to be what you want me to do. I'm gonna do that. And I think he really wanted me to do that because he wanted people to see what he had brought me out of. He wanted to use me to show people what he's capable of. So here I am, the girl who struggled to talk to people with a podcast. So I'm not who I was. And I can guarantee you that woman at the well is not who she was when she left that well. Tell people your testimony and don't let the devil drive you away from that. Even if you guys want to tell your testimony on my podcast, feel free to fill out a form. Click the link in our bio and fill out a form, and I will get back to you. And we will do whatever we need to do to get you to record and send it in. I just encourage all of you guys to tell your testimony. And I have a lot of other points, but the Holy Spirit just came in and took that somewhere else. So I'm going to get back on what my notes say. But yeah, definitely tell your testimony. If you haven't and you want to on the podcast, please, please, please fill out the form and I will get back to you. I promise. So anyways, let's continue. So I wanted to look at I wanted to go look at where Jesus starts talking about the living water. I want you guys to look at verse 10 and also verse 13. I'm going to read both of those again. And remember the key words that I told you guys to look at. And that was the word given. So it says, verse 10 says, Jesus answered her, "If you know the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Verse 13 says, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." And then 14 says, "But whosoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The living water that Jesus is talking about is the Holy Spirit. How do we know that's the Holy Spirit? I am going to show you guys something in John chapter 14, verses 15, all the way down to 21. And it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So Jesus left us the Holy Spirit so that we can still have him. He lives within us. We are his children, and he, like he said, he will not leave us by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. We are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But the verse that I really wanted you guys to look at is where it says, chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." So that is why I wanted you guys to pay attention to that word give and given. Those words are important because Jesus was actually hinting about the Holy Spirit. And then when we scroll down in chapter 4 and we look at verse 23 all the way down to verse 24. Chapter 4, verse 23, all the way down to 24. It says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit of the truth." And when you go back and you look at John chapter 14, verse 17, it says the Spirit of truth. It talks about the Spirit of truth. So both of those are talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was giving her a hint of what was to come. And then in chapter 14, it is brought to the forefront and he is putting it out there what's about to happen. He says, "My Father will give you another advocate." So that word give is right there again. And he is telling them that that is what will be given to them. So we can put two and two together and see that that is what Jesus was referring to when he was talking to the woman at the well. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to look at is chapter 4, verse 13 again. We're going to look at verse 13 again. So it says, "Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them, pay attention to that, in them, the Holy Spirit lives in us, will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So I got on Strong's Concordance on, so that word welling, in some NIV versions, it says spring. So it comes from the word holomai. Number, the Strong's Concordance number is G242. So if you guys want to look that up, you can. It's really helpful when you're unsure what a word means, or if you want to look at what that word originally was in Hebrew or in Greek. So the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament is written in Greek. So right now we're in John. John is the New Testament, so it is written in Greek, and that is what the G stands for in that number. So yeah, I hope I explained that well. Strong's definition is to jump, figuratively, to gush, leap, spring up. So now that we have looked at that, it definitely makes it, honestly, I don't know how it feels for y'all, but it starts in my stomach. I get this gut feeling. That's what people call it. I get this gut feeling. When I'm doing something I know I have no business or something is wrong, the Holy Spirit tugs at me. It literally feels like you have a gut feeling. So what you call gut feeling isn't a gut feeling. It's the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people like to call it their intuition, or something told them not to do something, or something told them to do something. That is your Holy Spirit. We have to pay attention when we feel that feeling. For me, it feels like you want to run. If you've ever been somewhere and your gut was telling you, no, don't go, and you get there and it's like your spirit wants to run out your body. It's like you want to get up out of there. That is the feeling of the Holy Spirit when you are somewhere where you have no business and it is telling you to get up. It's telling you to leave. It's telling you to go. That's the Holy Spirit. And you cannot ignore it, because obviously your spirit knows something that you do not. I can also say that when you are in the spirit, you feel full. It feels like the word says, an everlasting overflow of water. It feels like you are so full of life. You are so full and you don't need anything else. You feel so much peace. You feel so much love. You feel so much at one time. So what it all comes down to is this. Are you going to let God fill you up with the Spirit? Do you want to be filled, or do you just want to keep pouring from an empty cup? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because believe me, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, people will not be able to empty your cup. You will be able to pour into other people, but God will be able to pour into you, and it will be continue overflowing. Your cup will overflow. You won't ever be empty, because the Holy Spirit will fill you up. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. So when you are in the world, you are trying to pour from an empty cup. When you are choosing to live in the world and not choosing to come to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit, you are pouring from an empty cup. You have nothing to pour. When you're in the world, you are taking what you have and just giving it to other people, and nothing is being poured back into you. So that little bit of what you did have, it's gone, and you are still trying to pour. And you're getting upset because nobody is pouring back into you. And now your heart is hardened. Now you feel like, oh, well, they didn't help me, so I'm not going to help them. I'm just going to match energy. That's what's the new thing. I'm just going to match energy. If you're acting like that, I'm going to act like that too. See, us believers, we don't have to do that. Because let me tell you something. I can give to somebody today and they not give me nothing in exchange. And I promise you, I'm not worried about it, because I know what God has for me. I know He's going to pour back into me. I know He saw what I was doing. He saw that I'm trying. He sees that I'm trying to give back and do what He has sent me here to do. He sees that I'm trying to walk in my purpose. He sees that I'm trying to help His people. And it's not about being seen. I'm down here doing the work that He has told us to do, to be a doer of the word and not just a sayer of the word. And that's the whole thing. I don't have to worry about people not giving me love back when I'm showing them love. I know Jesus loves me and He's going to pour into me. I don't have to worry about somebody not supporting me, because I know Jesus supports me. I don't have to worry about somebody not helping me when I was down and I needed money, because I know Jesus is going to give me what I need times 10, things that I don't even need. I don't need for anybody else to do anything for me, because I know that God is going to come through for me. All I have to do is continue to give to His people, continue to love people who seem hard to love, who the world labels as hard to love. I'm going to continue to love those people. You know why? Because most of the time, those people don't love themselves. I'm going to show you love, even if you hate me. It's not something that I always enjoy. I'm going to be honest, because I'm human. And sometimes your flesh gets in the way. It does. But I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Because I want to love people the way that Jesus loves people. it doesn't hurt me to give to these people because Jesus is constantly pouring into me. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I do not. I am a daughter of the King. What am I in need of? What does it hurt me to give these people a little bit of the love that Jesus gives me? What, it's not hurting me to do that. I'm going to do it, and it's none of my business if they deserve it. The world needs Jesus. We are the people that he's going to use. You sitting here telling people they need Jesus, and you're not showing them what Jesus is like. You're not being the reflection of Christ. You are not reflecting Christ. Show them some Jesus. Show them some grace. It does not take from your cup. It does not hurt you to pour into somebody else because God is steady pouring into you. It will not hurt you to pour into somebody else. Give them a taste of what Jesus is like. It will not hurt you to plant a seed. Go out here and show people what Jesus is like. Somebody is at a well somewhere waiting for Jesus. Maybe Jesus wants to send you to meet them at their well. But you're too busy judging and being rude. Let Jesus use you. And just like I said earlier, chapter 4, verse 13, when he said, whoever drinks from the well will be thirsty again. Like I just told y'all, people in the world are trying to fill themselves. They're going to other people to fill them, but only God can fill them. But they're looking for it in other people. And man will disappoint you every time. That's why the word says don't trust man. In a sense of you can't trust man with things like pouring into you. The man can't pour into you constantly and you be satisfied every time. That's not going to happen. They can't. They're going to fall short because they're human. Look to God. With that being said, it's like people in the world are trying to fill themselves up with well water and not living water. You will not be able to fill yourself up with the well water. You will continue to thirst. You will continue to feel like something's missing. You will continue to feel like, you will continue to feel empty, and you'll keep coming back, getting the same thing and still not being fulfilled. You keep coming back to the world, trying to fill up that cup, that bucket, that jar, whatever. And it's not working. But you'll continue to do it over and over again. Because, you know, I mean, I'd rather have that than nothing. No. You need to come to Christ. He will give you the overflow that you've been looking for. Drink from the living water. Have eternal life. Let Jesus fill you up. And the last thing I want to say is this. And this is what I noticed. The fact that Jesus never got any water. And I don't mean that in a funny way. I mean, I said it funny, but that man never got any water. He didn't come there for water. He didn't come there to do anything but sit and talk to her. He came to that well for her. He came and left without even getting any water. So it had nothing to do with the well. He came for the woman at the well. And I saw a quote that said that, I don't know, the other day when I was asking God if this was really the topic that he wanted me to do. And the quote that was on my Facebook page was, it wasn't the water that he came for, it was me. And it said, signed, the woman at the well. So I thought that was absolutely amazing. And then when I read it, I was like, yeah. And then Holy Spirit pointed out to me that Jesus never got his water. He did not come there for anything other than that woman. And the fact that he traveled all that way and was thirsty and tired, I'm sure, and sat there and spoke to her, didn't treat her any less than because of her past. And just sat there with her and showed her love and showed her grace. That's what we need to do as believers. We need more of that. We need to be there for people. We need to stop judging them because of their past. You might meet a woman at a well someday. And I pray that you actually sit with her. I pray that you show her the way to Christ. I pray that you tell her about the living water. So, that's it for today. The Holy Spirit was cooking up something amazing. I'm blessed for you guys to be here with me. I'm excited for the next episode. I have no idea what the topic is. I spend time with God and he gives me a topic and I do it. I kind of ran out of topics. The last time I sat with him, he gave me a whole bunch. And I've done all those. So I need to sit again and wait for him to give me more topics. So yeah. Also, if you are the woman at the well that I'm speaking of, you're having a hard time right now. I really feel in my spirit to say this. If you're having a hard time right now, turn to Christ. I promise it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life right now. I want you to pray and tell him everything that's on your heart. Repent and apologize for the things that you know are wrong. But tell him everything that is hurting you, everything that is on your heart. Turn to him. Let him fix it. Let him help you. Don't walk away. Turn your face to him. Turn towards him. That woman at the well did not turn away from him. She talked to him. She let her guard down. He wants you to do the same. I'm going to leave off on that note. I love all of you guys. I pray that this was helpful. But I pray that this was insightful for you guys. But I will see you guys next Tuesday again. I love you guys so much. And Jesus loves you too. Stay holy and stay blessed. See ya.